Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello and welcome to the latest Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. I'm Joe Rimmer and joining me today is Ian Doyle. How are you, Ian?
Yeah, okay, you?
I'm all right. We're on the round table with Paul Gorst as well. Paul, how are you?
All good, yeah. Looking forward to a long round trip on Sunday with Doyle, Bournemouth and back in a day.
I've done Bournemouth and back in a day with Doyle.
You have actually? Yeah. It was Everton, wasn't it? Yeah. Wasn't that the day that somebody recognised you and then got halfway through the conversation and realised you weren't the person they thought?
No. That was, I hope they're not listening, but that was quite embarrassing. Really. It was in the services, wasn't it? And he said, Joe, just said hi, and he said, we went to uni together. I must admit, I could not remember. I can't remember many things nowadays, but that was several years ago. And it was, you know, when it's written all over your face and you clearly can't remember that place.
Couldn't even try and ask the right question to fish it out.
Yeah, so it was it was slightly awkward. And then I had Bournemouth and back with Doyle. That was right at the start as well, wasn't it? So, enjoy it. Anyway, before we start, I've got a couple of plugs to do. I'm going to try and do it better than Theo did last time.
We're going to just speak it then. Yeah.
Well, actually going to plug it.
I'm actually going to plug it this time. Obviously, a lot of this podcast will focus on Mohamed Salah, who went down injured yesterday for Egypt. But he did score his 200th goal for Liverpool recently. Incredible player. And if you love Mo Salah, we've got a Mohamed Salah standalone special that you can order from the Reach Shop. You two gentlemen have written towards it. So there's plenty of stats, analysis, great pictures, all his best goals, a great profile. It's just a really nice keeper. So you can order that from the Reach Shop. That's reachshops.co.uk/Salah. We ship worldwide. So if you're in Egypt, if you're in anywhere in the world, you'll be able to pick that up. So that's reachshops.co.uk/Salah.
Do you reckon they'd be able to get it in North Korea?
I don't know. So if you are listening from North Korea, I'll have a go. Go on the website if you can get it.
That would be good tale for us, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I don't know whether they watch Premier League football. Thanks for that, Ian, throwing that in. The second plug I'm going to do is for our LFC app, which we've got a really good sale coming up on the LFC app for around deadline day. We've got a premium LFC app, but you're going to get 6 months free, basically, on it. And it's, you know, I know I'm plugging it, but it is really good. You know, a lot of people complain about our website, rightly so. You know, it's not the easiest thing to read, and we all feel your pain. But the app is really quick. It's slick. There's no ads on there. You can listen to the pods on there in the background as well while you do other things. It's really nicely laid out, and there's going to be some premium content on there as well. So, look out for that sale as we get towards deadline day. But in the meantime, you can do a free trial. It's on the App Store. It's on the Apple Store as well. So, Google Play. So definitely worth a go, if I do say so myself.
Do you reckon you can get that in St. Helens?
Yeah, to the ship to St. Helens.
No.
If you're listening and you're in St. Helens, Jamie or Jim?
Jim well done, yeah.
Did Jim listen to the pods? He did start.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, before we continue, I just want to quickly touch upon a conversation we were just having before we came on air. If you could put Ian Doyle in any wrestling hold, Paul Gorst, which one would you put him in?
Probably the Lion Tamer, which is slightly different to the Walls of Jericho.
Wow, showing his knowledge.
It's the one with that's where you put the knee into the back and you really put the hurting on them. So I'd like to put those.
And he couldn't do that to you because, like, you're a big man, so he couldn't get you over.
No one could do that to him. There's no one on our small staff that'd be able to do that.
He'd be tapping.
Yeah. What would you put, Paul? In?
Clothesline, obviously. You'd have to jump up for it.
I'd have to jump back.
But do you say Paul? He's still a move, not a hold.
Figure four leg lock in tribute to Ric Flair.
Can you imagine that?
Let us know in the comments which wrestling hold you'd like to put Ian Doyle in. I'd like to put him in many. Yeah, depends on the day, really.
Sharpshooters
would be good.
Well, as we know from the podcast on Monday, you're quite small, so I'd imagine you'd be open to all of them, I think.
I said to you before, and I'll go back to back with any man.
Just even a good old-fashioned headlock.
Yeah, just a headlock. Yeah, I'm sure you've had them in a few of them. Right, let's talk Mo Salah. I'll start with you, Gorsty, because you've got a little bit of an update on him. Obviously, hearts were in the mouths last night when Salah came off the pitch. Albeit he didn't seem too bad afterwards, that he came out and watched the second half. He walked through the mix zone with a bit of a smile on his face. And, you know, I think it doesn't look a terrible one, but when Mohamed Salah goes off the pitch, this is a man who doesn't get substituted many times, doesn't get injured. I think the last injury he had for Liverpool was 2019.
Because he went off injured in the FA Cup final.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot about that. Okay.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for correcting me. But still, quite a while. It's 2022.
It's only less than 2 years, 18 months ago.
All right.
Well, 20 months.
He doesn't go off the pitch. The point stands. He doesn't go off in many. Yeah. So you know when Mohamed Salah goes off the pitch, that it should be serious, but some positive news, I think it's fair to say.
Positive-ish, yeah, but the sounds of things, he obviously went down injured yesterday and there was initial fears that it was a hamstring issue, and I think Simon Hughes of The Athletic was actually there, isn't he, in the Ivory Coast watching it, and I think he was thinking it might have been a hamstring issue. And obviously Klopp got asked about it today, didn't he, and he said that there'll be an MRI and
ultrasound
and an MRI, to determine what it is. But yeah, I mean, speaking to more than a handful of people who are based sort of either in Egypt or at the AFCON themselves this morning, it sounds like it's quite good news. It seems like it might just be a back muscle injury that's kept him out, and a couple of concerns that he won't be able to play on Monday for Egypt. But I suppose if he's not being definitively ruled out for that one, then bode well for Liverpool doesn't it? So, hopefully it's not a serious hamstring issue, but there is an update expected later today from the Egyptian camp and the Egyptian team doctor. But so far, so good. It seems though it's not a particularly serious one.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I kind of made my peace earlier with he wasn't really going to feature for Liverpool till early February, probably at the earliest anyway. Mm. So unless it was a really bad one, he wouldn't really be playing in this period anyway.
No, it'd be like 2 or 3 weeks, wouldn't it? Because if you look at Liverpool's recent hamstring issues, they tend to not have been...
I was going to call him Dom Solanke then, Dominic Szoboszlai.
No, we'll get on to him later. Yeah. But yeah, they seem to be catching them early, Liverpool, I think. I mean, Szoboszlai was going to get substituted anyway, but he'd be a little bit late on that one. Obviously, with when players go abroad with the countries or go away from Liverpool, I should say, under that medical care, the way that Liverpool play the game, very intense. There's a lot of games. The fixture list has been quite hectic, and they look. And if there's one player who looks after himself more than any other, it's probably Salah. If you buy our standalone publication, you'll find a little bit more about that. Yeah, because we've done a piece on that. But with Salah, as Klopp said, if he goes down, something must be up. And of course, playing for Egypt is a massive thing for him. He's the biggest player. He's certainly the biggest player in Egypt. Probably the most famous player in Africa in the tournament. So for the tournament to probably at the moment looks like certainly for one game, possibly could be longer. That's a big blow for them, and a big blow for Egypt. But as you say, with Liverpool, he was never going to be playing anyway. The worry now is that how is he going to react to it in case something has happened to him? Because it's not just the physical side of it, it's the mental side of it as well. Because we saw what happened a couple of years ago when Egypt got to the final, lost on penalties, wasn't it? His form in the second half of the season was nowhere near as good as the first, although there was the other complication was that 6 weeks later they got beat by selling a long penalty again in a World Cup playoff, so they missed out on that. But for Liverpool, it's weird, isn't it? Because Liverpool, they've got to grips with a lot of the injuries, as I just mentioned. They kind of try and catch some of them early. There's certainly these muscle ones, but I know when Liverpool have a muscle injury, you go, oh, and if someone says like they're out for 3 weeks and you say, you're not going to see him again this year kind of thing. Yeah.
The Trent one was one that they were like, ligament, hopefully he'll be back soon. I mean, it looks like we'll come back. To be fair, it does look like he'll be back soon, but we hear it a lot, don't we, where, the Klopp, I think, tries to be positive. So they come to him in a press conference they did today and said, what's the latest? And he said, it is positive news. but none of them available.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm kind of used to that with
Liverpool. But I think with salary, he doesn't know, does he? No, and none of us know. And as Ghosty said, we'll know a bit more later on.
Yeah, someone said to me if it would have been a Champions League final, he'd played on. So yeah. it sounds like Salah is being cautious.
Yeah.
Perhaps he knows that there's some big fish to fry when he comes back to England.
Yeah, yeah. I think whenever you see a player come back onto the bench and kind of be a part of things, it shows that they're not receiving immediate attention. So maybe a back spasm, you know, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And to be fair, for Liverpool, if he misses the next game and Egypt are on 2 points, aren't they? There's every chance they could go out with that.
Yeah,
I think they'll get through.
I think they probably will. You know, they should do. They're playing, what, Cape Verde in the next game?
Yes.
So they should win. But if there's a chance of them going out and Salah coming back early, well, I know we don't want him to fail, but it might work out quite well.
Yeah, well, someone asked us that, didn't they, on Friday in the Q&A? You know, what would you rather do? Egypt go out straight away or Egypt win the AFCON? And at the time, I kind of thought, yeah, let him win it and come back flying and you know, take Liverpool to new heights. But after that little setback, I'm kind of reversing my decision on that now. And, you know, just come home.
Especially as well with Liverpool's injuries are mounting up, aren't they? Yeah. January's been pretty hard going to them at the moment. So let's go into those other injuries. Szoboszlai, Trent, neither of them two back. For the Bournemouth game at the weekend. So what do you think? Who do you think we'll see? Or are they all Fulham and the following game?
Yeah, well, Szoboszlai said, didn't he, in Hungary last week that he was hoping to make the Bournemouth game, but if not, you know, he wouldn't rush himself just to be fit for that game. If it meant just missing that one and he'd be back for Fulham, then so be it. Trent is kind of targeting Chelsea on the 31st, but if not, I was told earlier this week that Arsenal at the latest will be his comeback date, and that's big for Liverpool, isn't it, getting him back for that one. So in the meantime, I guess it's up to Conor Bradley to step in, make his Premier League debut and show why there's so much kind of belief in him behind the scenes. In terms of Szoboszlai, maybe Harvey Elliott can step in. Obviously Curtis Jones is in form at the moment. Chance for Ryan Gravenberch to kind of shake off a little bit of patchy form over the last month or so. So there are options in midfield, but, you know, Liverpool could just do getting one or two back, couldn't they? They've got too many out at the moment, I'd suggest.
I talk every pod, Doyley, about how I feel like Liverpool's injuries are underplayed, and I think you made the point in the last one, well, they keep winning, so people aren't going to make a big deal of them. But this is a really tricky game to have to get through, I think, with so many injuries and absences.
It is, for a couple of reasons. Obviously, Bournemouth have actually played quite well at the moment. Funny enough, when Liverpool played Bournemouth at the start of the season, obviously they won 3-1, McAllister was sent off, but Bournemouth caught them out for the first 20 minutes, scored, could have had another goal. Another, Semedo, isn't it? He's not playing because he's with Ghana, which, again, it's not just Liverpool who have been affected by the African Cup and African Cup of Nations.
They're
kind of
missing, aren't they?
I think you deserved it because you went too early with that. To be fair, you should have built it up a little bit more. Bournemouth tricky, but yeah, it's, as I said, it's not just Liverpool are missing the players from the tournament. You're quite pleased with that, aren't you?
It's great. Like, I know what you'll do. You'll say, "Oh, it's awful." In the next pod, when Ghana play, he'll slip it in and try and claim it as a...
You forget how long I've been doing this job. We've done all these to death already.
The press conference today, though, that you would have been happy with, but you decided you weren't because they weren't your jokes.
Which one was that?
When we were talking about the cushions.
Oh, yeah. That's
just fellow talk, that.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I'd high five you for that, but you just...
He got a straight red instead. He got a straight red because they were red. Anyway, going back to the podcast... Bournemouth, tricky. As I was saying, when I saw them play against Liverpool, I was quite impressed, actually. And I was then surprised to see them struggle at the start of the season because I could then see that they... Yossi face is just killing me here. You could see there was something there.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, it's taken them a bit longer than you expected. And it was a tough game when they played in the League Cup in November.
Yeah.
And I know it wasn't quite full-strength teams for the pair of them, but the crowd were up for it. They caused Liverpool quite a few problems. And, of course, they won. They beat Liverpool 1-0 last season there in the league, and that was probably one of many low points, and that was kind of a you could see things had to change at that point because they went to play. Was it Real Madrid next? It was, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
the when they were already 5-2 down. So
that was Madrid, wasn't it?
And it came off the back of the 7-0 against United as well. So yeah. People thinking, oh, Liverpool are going to be up for this now. And, yeah, we saw that. So it's a good little barometer for Liverpool to see how far. Well, obviously they've hardly lost. I think they've only lost two league games since the Bournemouth game. Just City, the next one after the international break, and Tottenham, which was the VAR one. So
32 games. That.
Yeah, it's a little test for them, and I think it'll be tough. And yeah, I think Liverpool have had a little bit of trouble in the past. I remember they lost 4-3 there when they were so even being 3-1 up's not enough to win at Bournemouth sometimes. So tough game.
Yeah, I sometimes think, Ghosty, that when they make a lot of changes, it can go either way. But we saw them make a lot of changes for the League Cup game. When was that? October, November?
No, it was November. When I said November, November about 3 seconds ago,
Very early November. Wasn't listening. and that Darwin scores. It sometimes gives Liverpool a bit of an unpredictability.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you mentioned then that neither side were full strength on that day, but Liverpool won't beat tomorrow, Sunday, will they? But that game was a bit of a... I don't think you can draw too many conclusions from it because it was played in a literal storm, wasn't it, if you remember, on the South Coast, and it was just about getting through it, battling through it and winning it, and Liverpool did with a moment of magic from Nunes. It'll be difficult. Obviously, Solanke, probably the informed striker in the Premier League at the moment, isn't he? I think he's right up there with Haaland and Salah for goals at about 13-14 this season. Areola has got a tune out of them, to be fair. They absolutely hammered United at Old Trafford about a month ago now, didn't he? And I don't think too many teams have taken more points than them across the last sort of 6 or 7 weeks. So
I think it's the last 10, Liverpool and Bournemouth at the top of the their last 10 games. They've both taken 22 points out of 30.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough, and Liverpool have battled gainly through the injury crisis that they've had pretty much since the start of December, really. It's almost every game someone's been dropping out. Yeah. Even Alisson, go back to the Man City game, and then from there, McAllister, Matip, Szoboszlai, you can take your pick. Trent, they've all sort of pulled up. So it's just about seeing what they're able to do. And I think the starting 11s have still been strong, but they haven't really had much in reserve, have they?
No, they've
sort of had two subs who they're able to bring on.
Yeah.
It worked against Fulham.
Yeah,
but beyond that, there's not a whole lot. Then you're starting to look at Bobby Clark and maybe Kate Gordon or someone like that. But there's generally the strength and depth is being put through its paces at the moment.
I think we're seeing, Dwayne, some of the real qualities they have in the squad. Firepower is obviously one of them, and that sort of pulled them through games. As Ghosty just mentioned, all those absences in December, it's kind of pulled them through those games, and also just the sort of grit that seems to be back about them this season. Klopp was talking again about clean sheets today, wasn't he, and about some of the defensive performances of Quanta and of Konate. And that has stood them in good stead, hasn't it, for what has been a tricky run of fixtures, and it will probably need to all be there at Bournemouth.
Yeah, I think you do worry that there will come a game where it all catches up with them, because you can't have... whatever team you are, no matter what strength and depth you've got, like we saw with City earlier this season,
when they had a few, catching up on Fulham, didn't they?
Exactly, yeah. So there will come a game, and it's like, well, which one do you pick? Bournemouth away? Do you want it to be Fulham away in the League Cup? I know we'll do this next week, but we've spoken. I reckon people might underestimate that game a little bit. Then you've got Norwich in the FA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they get through all of them by winning all three, they've done incredibly well.
Oh,
but then
absolutely.
they don't need to beat Fulham, do they? They just need to draw. You know what I mean? So I do think that it may catch up eventually. However, if against Fulham they get Szoboszlai back, there's one. The worry is if somebody else falls over.
Well, there you go, yeah.
And this is the thing. They've now reached that point where if anybody else falls over the next week, then they're going to have a massive problem.
Yeah.
They are fortunate in the sense that the keeper's fit now, and even then he's not going to be playing some of the games, so that's helped them.
Yeah.
The centre-backs, they've got three of them are fit.
Yeah.
They've got McAllister's back just at the right time for Endo. Curtis Jones has stayed fit. And the forwards, while everyone's gone about Salah being gone, and that's a massive blow, they've still got four of them fit. So straight through the middle and the attack, they've got enough options there. It's everything else around it is where
that's left back.
Yeah, basically, yeah. They got a second or you could argue third choice right back because Calvin Ramsey should really be it. So
can I say someone you didn't mention there that I think has been incredibly important and stayed fit, touch wood, all season so far, is Joe Gomez.
Yeah.
Because of the positions he's played in, the the form he's been in. I mean, it has been the season, probably his best season so far, I think, at Liverpool, just because of the types of games he's had to play.
Yes, certainly since 2020 when he won the league at centre-back. But yeah, I mean, his versatility has been, you know, a huge asset, hasn't it? You know, I had a chance to speak to him after the Arsenal game and kind of said to him, look, you're playing left-back at the moment and that's probably the third position you want to be playing in. He sort of started laughing as if to say, yeah, you're right about that. So obviously he's a centre-back by trade, who occasionally does the job at right-back and has done the kind of hybrid role at times as well, hasn't he? You know, Wolves was one of them earlier in the season. And now he's played the last sort of month now, hasn't he, at left-back since Tsimikas's injury. So,
and played very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool have still got the best defensive record in the Premier League despite the injuries that they've had. You know, Matip, Canate's been in and out, hasn't he? And they haven't had a senior fit left-back for over a month. So, yeah, big credit to him. He's having a fantastic season and he's getting closer and closer to that elusive goal after, what, 201 appearances now? So,
yeah,
great season for him. And great to see him bounce back, actually, after an indifferent one, to be kind, really, last season. Still only 26. Signed a new contract relatively recently.
It was 18 months ago, yeah.
So, just hope he carries it on, really. Yeah,
the one thing about Gomez, well, say two things that no one ever doubts his talent, but the two things that he needs is A, to be fit, and B, I always think with Gomez, it's a psychological thing. When he makes a mistake in the past, he's kind of like, the example was Man City last season. Oh, he was probably Liverpool's best player. They win 1-0. He played centre back that day, wasn't he? I think. Was he right back? I can't remember. Then the following, I think it was in the next couple of days, he played West Ham, and he gave away a penalty for like with a silly kind of challenge. I know Liverpool won the game eventually, and then it was in a couple of weeks they played Leeds, and he made that terrible mistake.
Yeah.
But he'd already got over a bit of a nightmare at Napoli. Mm-hmm. Where he'd been subbed at half time, hadn't he? Well, that was in that first half. He played really well for about half an hour. And then he made a mistake where he gave the ball, I think it was Osimhen, I think it was. They didn't score. But after that, he just fell apart a little bit and Liverpool conceded another goal, this, that, and the other. So I think maybe this season we've seen he's been psychologically strong, although he's not really made a massive blunder, has he? I can't think of any. And even if he has done, he's managed to sorted out himself rather than somebody else coming and bailing him out.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
What's Klopp's favourite word?
I don't know.
You've written about it a lot recently. Rhythm.
Oh, rhythm. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I think she's thrown us there.
Yeah, I think Joe Gomez is like the standard bearer in that squad for rhythm. For Klopp's.
Curtis Jones, the other one.
There's a few in there, I think, actually, for that to a point. You start to notice that when you put together a running game, you start to see the quality that they've got.
And you know, you talked about the 2020, you know, when he was in that partnership with Van Dijk. Mm. And I remember it was a rhythm thing. He got into a rhythm with Van Dijk. They forged the partnership and he was very, very good. And then as soon as he got injured and fell out the team, he found it quite difficult to get back to his best, and he was playing in different positions. But this year, because he's played throughout, I think he's been very good. Before we move on, we've got some comments and questions on YouTube. I'd like to just point out, John Van Floyd says, if it's hamstring, oh dear, for Salah. I don't know whether you saw the start of the show, but hopeful that it's a back and not hamstring, which would be probably quite good.
Is that a question or a comment?
It was a comment. He said, promising season would slowly crumble. And, you know, I don't think we want any of that. I think the great thing about Liverpool this season is they've not thought like that. I think you can tell in the squad that there's an attitude of we can do this, we can improve. There's... The refresh in the summer and the way the Klopp's been, I think it's a great way of dealing with them, with the injuries, as they've dealt with a very can-do attitude.
They haven't sulked or licked the wounds or anything like that, have they? You know, you can mention Newcastle and, okay, there might be a bit of a disparity in the overall quality of the squads, But Newcastle, it seems to me like the narrative behind them over the last 3 months has just been, oh, well, they've got injuries, so we can't expect anything from them. Liverpool have probably had a similar amount of injuries and just carried on, just cracked on. And it was interesting listening to Pep Linders just the day before the Fulham game, where he said anyone who had negativity at pre-season, the beginning of pre-season, would get a punch in the face because we were leaving all that behind and it was a fresh start, you know.
Everyone,
not
a great workplace practice.
No, I mean, it's probably assaulting your employees. Yeah. It's not great. Yeah. I mean,
did you want to do that with Theo?
Well, after his reading last week, yeah.
wrestling moves.
Yeah, exactly. You're quite violent, aren't you, really?
Well, I don't know. The sharpshooter, I think.
I won't make a complaint to HR if I see you put the cross-faced chicken wing on him or something.
That's right. Who was that? Bob Backlund?
Bob Backlund.
No one's going to know who that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have handled it really well, and the hope is that they don't have to carry on doing it. But we're still a few weeks away, aren't we, from a full complement of players. And Klopp hasn't had a full squad available to him all season, really. Because Thiago and Bichette have been out, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Bob Backlund, the shortest reign of any champion. What was it, 9 seconds or something stupid?
Is that right?
Yeah. There you go. That's my wrestling knowledge ends about 1994, by the way, because I grew up, basically.
Nathan Quinn asks us what the latest with Ku Itakara. I'm sorry if I've butchered his name. He's the Japanese centre-back at Gladbach. He's played for City, but I can't. He's got a release clause. I don't know, it smells of Liverpool, that one, for me.
I think Theo might have written something on this earlier this week, but I'm not too sure about him. You know, I did a piece earlier this week about Ousmane Diomande at Sporting and Morten Frendrup at Genoa, defensive midfielder. Mm. But, you know, we've just come from Klopp's press conference and, you know, he said, I can guarantee it's going to be a quiet window. And, you know, what are we now? Just getting towards the final. Well, we're inside the final 2 weeks of it, aren't we? Liverpool aren't going to be doing anything. Any major incomings, unless there's a serious injury crisis. And then, even if they did, you'd be worried about them kind of being too reactive. You know, he might be one for further down the line, but at the moment, nothing imminent.
Where's that player from?
Gladbach.
That's what Liverpool hoped that Salah's got. Thank you.
So following on from that, please, in the comments, just tell us what wrestling hold you'd like to put in Gordon.
Right now.
Sharpshooter, crossface, Walls of Jericho, I don't know.
Cobra clutch.
You have literally lost most of the...
Both the same clutches.
I think so.
Viewership at this moment.
Yeah, no. There's 49 people watching as we speak and they're sticking with us. They like our wrestling hold talk. Bob Backlund is retired former. Those who he is. Thank you, Bear.
He's about 60. At least. He's got to be 65.
Same age as yourself. That's how you know him. Do you want to talk about international tournaments? We sort of glossed over it before quickly, but Salah.
No, it's just saying that obviously these tournaments have to take place sometime. It seems to be no matter when they are, whether it's the middle of the season, January, whether it's December, November, whether it's in the summer, Liverpool. And not just Liverpool, is it? But it just seems as though Liverpool, not struggle, but they seem to be impacted quite a bit because when certain players go away, Salah, we mentioned what happened in 2022. I mean, obviously the flip side to this is Mane, who came back and was then, he was bolstered by it because obviously they won it. But there's very few players who are going to win the international tournament, whether the continent, Endo might do it. But
yeah.
Slight difference there. I think he's won it before. Someone's going to, point out that I'm wrong there, no doubt. But he's certainly done well with Japan in the past. So I think for Liverpool, it has. If you look at Mane in 2017, Liverpool were doing quite well. I know they're probably ahead of schedule that season. He goes off to the African Nation. Liverpool lose a load of games. Mane comes back, plays a few games, gets injured, ends the season. I'm not saying those two things are related, but these, look at last season with the World Cup. Van Dijk comes straight back from the World Cup, does his hamstring, wasn't it? Yeah.
Brentford.
And all the players were distracted by it beforehand. I don't think there's any suggestion that Salah's been distracted or Endo have been distracted by what's about to happen to them in their international tournaments. But they'd only be human if when they come back, depending on what happens, it's going to affect their emotions, even if just for the short term. So
I think the thing with Salah is it's his mentality, isn't it? Like, when he got beaten in Senegal in 2022, he was on the first plane home, wasn't he? And he was in the squad for that Leicester game, wasn't he? Come on and off the bench. And it was almost like, I was just going to try and forget about that, get it out of my mind and crack on with Liverpool. And maybe if they do end up being knocked out at the group stages, that'll be how we'll channel his frustrations into the second half of the season. But we'll see. But hopefully, yeah, it isn't too serious an injury.
So these international tournaments have to happen, and if you ask the players themselves, they absolutely love it. It's playing for the country is so important, and I know sometimes supporters of any club just don't really see that, but it is important to them, and that's why if things don't go to plan, it can affect them.
Especially when you're Mohamed Salah, and let's face it, Egypt's hopes rest on your shoulders.
Yeah, because the rest of the players aren't very good.
Well, you've just said before, he's probably the biggest star in the whole tournament.
Yeah,
you know, and you can feel the pressure for him. But you can see when he goes into these things how much responsibility he takes. Yeah. It was the same how many years ago was it? When was the Mane final?
2022.
So like you could see, and it was the same for Mane at the time because he was operating at the peak of his powers. So, you know, and obviously Endo captains Japan, so he probably feels the same thing. But I think as well for Liverpool, it's that their style of play is so intense, isn't it? That probably these little changes in different camps and different teams with different medical teams.
Like a little bit of rhythm.
Rhythm, yeah. You know, and it just all impacts, doesn't it? So I think you do notice the difference when Klopp has had a summer to work with. They often seem to start the season better, and I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah, one of the many times we've spoken to Van Dijk after games, I think he said something a few weeks ago. Basically, it was around the kind of the busy period. So one of the questions was, well, how do you prepare during this period? How do you manage to stay fit and keep on top of your game? And he said that after whatever game it was a night game, that he was going to be going and having a physio session. And, you know, by the time he'd got home, it would have been close to midnight, I'm sure. And then you've got to have a physio session, a recovery session. You get the day off after games. But just a little insight into how much work goes into staying fit, essentially. And like you say, as soon as the players kind of deviate from that schedule and that programme with the national teams, it can take any minor kind of twang kind of to disrupt everything. We saw that with Daniel Sturridge all those years ago. Oh,
absolutely. Is that not what you do after a night game? Just get home and get in the ice bath?
No. Normally get a McDonald's. Yeah.
That's my Radox. Conor Bradley, we wanted to talk about Conor Bradley earlier, and obviously the Fulham game, he played really well, really grew into the game, I think, towards the end of the game, and he is now likely to play, I think, on Sunday. You both watched a lot of academy football. I know you both rate him very highly. How much do you trust him to take Liverpool through this period, Gusty?
Yeah, I mean, they don't really have too many other options, do they? Because Gomez has got to be on the left side, so it's a case of throwing in the deep end and on you go. But I don't think anyone can be worried by what they've seen so far in this kind of fleeting moments that he's had. Okay, he had an untimely slip for the Fulham goal in the League Cup, but generally he's been solid, hasn't he? He's looked to get forward where and when he can. You're not expecting him to be a kind of Trent type of, you know, creator. But I thought he could have had an assist to his name, couldn't he, with Nunes, with that great ball in, if Nunes sticks that one away. And yeah, I mean, he's obviously a young player, but he's not a real, like, massively young player. He's 20. He's been around Liverpool first team on and off for 2 years. He's had a good spell at Bolton, won the, was it the Johnston's Paint? What's that called now, mate?
It's the Bristol Motors second-hand car dealership.
Well, he won that for them, didn't he? So he's obviously, that was a big game for them. So he's played in big games. Okay, it's not ideal, but I suppose it wasn't ideal when Liverpool had to throw Trent Alexander-Arnold in all those years ago. You know, these young players can only learn when they get a go in the first team. So we'll see. But I think he'll do all right.
I wouldn't be worried about the size of the occasion because he played in front of 80,000 at Wembley in a cup final and played in the playoff semi-final. So that's not the issue. The only issue for me would be this week is the intensity of the three games, more so the Fulham game, which we can get on to next week.
By the way, I mean, the Bristol Street Motors, isn't
it? That's what it is,
In the day and age where football has so much money in it, the Bristol Street Motors can still sponsor
sponsor it at the start of it. That's the thing. They didn't have a sponsor at the start of the season. They just popped in halfway through the group stages.
Try and get my dad's Londis to sponsor.
And we did see Calvin Ramsey today as well, by the way, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know, he was obviously back from his Preston loan. You know, things had been different. It might have been him lining up, but he's 18 months into his Liverpool career, and I'm still not sure if he can do the business or not. So
I mean, they had high hopes for him, didn't they, when they bought him? You know, he was bought it because he had the style of a Liverpool fullback.
Yeah.
But I think unlike Bradley, he needs that year, doesn't he, to sort of, obviously he had injuries disrupted last year, but he needs a year to get rhythm, you know, and to get himself, just to get football under his belt, doesn't he? I think that's fair to say. Conor Bradley will be up against Dominic Solanke. I often think of Dominic Solanke as like peak Michael Edwards when they sold him. Was it 19 million at the time? And everyone went, hey, up 19 million for Dominic Solanke. He hadn't featured a great deal for Liverpool, but he's now, I mean, he's scored a lot of goals in the Championship, but a few years later, really showing his quality, isn't he? And he's clearly a very dangerous player that Liverpool are going to have to deal with.
Well, he's a player that he's become the player that Liverpool thought he'd become, basically. Yeah. And I think he's one of these ones who maybe Liverpool was a bit too, not big for him, but it was the quality was too high at the time. He wasn't the right kind of player for that. He came off the bench and played in the Champions League semi-final at Roma. He played the last few minutes and he got on the bench for the final. So there's obviously something there. I think he didn't play. He only scored one goal, didn't he? Is that against Brighton?
Brighton, last season.
Which was a game Liverpool needed to win as well. So to get into the Champions League. So I think the £19 million that they got for him, it was a great move, but it's ultimately become a good move for Bournemouth as well because they've stuck with him. And he went down, didn't he? Came back up, and now he's getting the goals. And he, as I said before, he's been at Chelsea, he's been at Liverpool, so he's been at big clubs, he knows what to expect. And maybe just Bournemouth has helped him make that step up to be a leading Premier League striker because he is. You know, I'm surprised that... You know, Arsenal need a forward. Why aren't they making a move for him?
Well, they can't. And the FFP is kind of biting them down.
Well, they could sell somebody, couldn't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not just them, is it? Yeah.
Chelsea?
Well, somebody? Anyone? Make a bid for him?
I mean, just on the window, I thought this quickly before when we were talking about it. And obviously, Liverpool only really do their business when a real opportunity arises in January. But I think each year it feels like it gets a bit quieter. And obviously, you have anomalies. Chelsea were very different, weren't they, last year? But this year it feels like we're starting to see FFP, we're starting to see...
I think it's FFP on the back of the coronavirus, you know, shut down. I think now you're seeing the effect of that.
Yeah, and clubs aren't willing to take as many chances. And I think clubs like Liverpool, who are even more careful, we're probably likely to see them do less and less business in general.
Liverpool probably rubbing their hands, thinking, well, this is what... This is what FSC have always kind of professed to stick strictly within, haven't they? And seems to be bearing fruit some years down the line. Just going back to Solanke, I think the key thing with him is probably growing up, he hasn't had to learn the kind of nuances of being a centre forward because he was always the biggest and the quickest and the strongest and he had a great shot. But over time, he's starting to learn how to be a number nine in the Premier League. And it's paying off for him, isn't it? You know, like I say, he's having an absolute great season. We were speaking to Rich Jolly before, weren't we? He's chief football writer of The Independent, and he was saying at Old Trafford a few weeks ago, he was, you know, head and shoulders and probably stomach and waist, you know, the best player on the pitch. He was just absolutely fantastic, and he was speaking so highly of him. Yeah. So he's kind of adding the kind of football flourishes on top of him just being, you know, very physical and strong and powerful amongst other players. So I think Van Dijk would prefer to play against that type of number nine. I think that bodes well, at least.
What's also helped is Bournemouth are now playing a style of football that benefits him as well. Yes, they are playing a more attacking game, and no matter what forward you are, if you've got a team who wants to be on the offensive, you're always going to enjoy it more than a team who's perhaps taking a step back and just looking after the defence first.
Moving on from the Bournemouth game, just a quick word on Jordan Henderson. Completed his move to Ajax last night. He's been holding the press conference today. I said before we came on air, I don't really want to discuss Henderson at length. I think it is worth a mention because obviously it's very newsworthy, but I think we've all said our pieces on Henderson. But it's kind of turned out exactly how many people feared it would for him, and it's pretty poor, isn't it, really?
If only someone would have told him 6 months ago, you know, we probably shouldn't be making this move. You know, if he'd gone to Ajax from Liverpool 6 months ago, I think there'd have been a groundswell of support, and there would have been more, like, you know, fair play to him for that challenge. You know, moving to a new country at this age, and historic club, who probably need a little bit of leadership and guidance. But the way it's turned out has not been great. What I would say for him is at least he's been kind of big enough to swallow his pride, look a bit foolish, and decide that it's not for him and move on.
Yeah, I mean, he's made that decision quickly, hasn't he, at least, Doyle?
Yeah, quickest, the soonest earliest possible time he could possibly do it as well. I just think in years from now, people will look at Jordan Henderson, look at those 6 months and go, well, what was that all about?
Yeah.
Brackets, money, close brackets.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I've said before, I think it. I've never seen a player, for footballing reasons maybe, but take it such a nosedive in 6 months. I mean, Badly Advised doesn't even begin to cover it, but I mean, it just is such a poor move all round, both on the football pitch, off the pitch, you know, for those reasons, and some of the ways he's handled it. I don't know whether there's a full way back for him, for the people that whose feelings he has hurt, but you know, I think he apologised in his IX press conference earlier, which I think is a start. But yeah, I just think, I mean, how, I don't see any reason why he went to Saudi other than money. And, you know, some of the reasons about footballing, staying in the England squad, those sorts of things, none of them added up. Whereas a move to Ajax from the beginning would have kept him in around the England setup, playing at a good level with a good club. It would have made sense even for him moving on from Liverpool. Yeah, it's the move he should have made 6 months ago, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, we don't want to dwell on it too much because we've all written and we've all had our say on this and whatever else. But in that Athletic interview with David Ornstein and Adam Crafton in November, was it, when he said that he never spoke about money? I mean, he's either taking the readers for fools or he's a big fool himself, because he moved into the team who finished eighth in Saudi Arabia last season or whatever it was. Why would you not talk about money, you know, if that's the move you're making? So
it's Robbie Keane's boyhood club.
Yeah, I always dreamt of playing for Martial Etifak. Steven Gerrard seems to be faring a lot better though. New contract there, 2-year deal. I mean, you know, you're hearing plenty of whispers about Saudi Arabian football not being all it's cracked up to be, aren't you? They got the money, but not a lot else by the looks of it. So we'll see how that develops in the summer.
I do wonder whether there's going to be a little word in Mohamed Salah's ear. Don't jump so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, not even from him, maybe Firmino and Fabinho, they were over for the Newcastle game, weren't they? And you'd imagine informal conversations of what's it actually like, and, you know, maybe Firmino, who apparently is disgruntled there, has said that, you know, it's not really for us, but we'll see.
We'll see. Right, let's pick our teams for the Bournemouth game. There isn't too much wiggle room, maybe midfield. But,
too much what room?
Wiggle room.
It's wriggle, isn't it?
Wriggle? Wiggle.
So you don't wiggle.
No, you don't. Wiggle. I quite like wiggle.
Give us
a wiggle. Put the sharpies on. Now put the crossfade on them. Both of us. I'm disappointed, actually. Before we go, please, someone get in the comments. Tell us what wrestling movie you'd like to put down.
No one cares.
We care. Ghosty cares. There's all after.
You're wasting precious time.
No, I'm not. Pick your team. Alisson,
yeah. Who'd you reckon? Who's having goal?
Yeah.
I think the back four. The only question is, do you play Quanta if you want Canati to play in midweek?
Against Fulham.
Yeah, and I'd think there's probably more of a chance of that than people think, but I'd start with Canati, Van Dijk, Bradley and Gomez, left back.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that.
No, same. There's no one else, is there really? Quanta or Canati is the big one, but I mean, with Solanke being in the form he's in, I'd want Canati up against them, who is in a good bit of form himself, to be fair, isn't he? He has been since the Arsenal game now, which is nearly a month ago. So, yeah, that's mine.
Yeah, I really like Quanta, and I think he's had a great season so far. He's shown a lot of quality. I trust him, you know. But I think with the amount of injuries Liverpool have got, and with Bradley playing, what is this? Would this be his... I mean, I know he started years ago in St Shrewsbury, but would this be his second or third?
I think he's made 10 appearances overall. He's not more than you think.
Start.
Well, he started in Belgium, didn't he?
Did he? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So it wasn't that long ago.
We're still sort of in a handful of starts.
He made his debut over 2 years ago, which is unbelievable, really. Yeah. I still think it was like a new youngster.
Yeah. So I think the seniority of having Canate next to him rather than Quanta just kind of helps things a little bit in this regard. Okay, midfield, Gorstein.
Yeah, so probably going to be McAllister, isn't it? And then Jones. I suppose the only big one is maybe Gravenberch or Elliott, but there's not too many others really fighting for the spot, is there? So I'll go with Elliott and Jones.
I'm going to go with McAllister, Jones, that's Jones, and that's apparently how you pronounce it, McAllister, that's apparently. So there.
How can there be nobody there who doesn't want to put Doyle in it?
I'm inviting them now, aren't I? Come on, I'm giving them good reason to do it.
There has to be someone out there.
It's interesting. Gravenberg hasn't had that good of a time lately, but I actually think that me having a bit of a rest will help, and I'm willing to give him another go in midfield, so I want him to start.
Yeah, definitely McAllister, or what did you call him?
McAllister.
And Jones.
I'm not making that up, by the way. I'm not making that up.
Okay, well, I mean...
You very much are making it up.
Well, let's see what people say.
I think McAllister and Jones are two-thirds of a full Liverpool midfield, aren't they? You know, Jones, I think, has worked his way into being a starter.
I thought you were going to say two-thirds of a band then or something like...
But, you know, like, in terms of... Considering all the injury problems, you would probably put them in your midfield if everyone was fit, I think it's fair to say. maybe Ender over McAllister, but it's close. So I'm quite happy with them too. I think it's the third one, and I just don't know whether I trust Gravenberg.
I think if you can't trust him now at the moment, then I think it's an ideal time for him to come in and play, I'll be really? Honest. Yeah.
Whereas I trust Elliot a bit more.
Yeah.
But then saying that, obviously the Fulham game coming midweek, you want more trustworthy players in that game because obviously Liverpool don't want to give away a lead, and Gravenberg is unpredictability might be quite good in this game. So I just think I've just talked myself into playing Gravenberg.
Okay.
And then Elliot on Wednesday night. Mm. But yeah, I think it says a lot about Jones, but certainly Jones, that he's forced his way into that midfield conversation, and you don't even think about Jones now, he's straight in. Elliot and Gravenberg have got some work to do that... Sort of weighing it up over them too. Your front three?
I'm going to go with Diaz on the right. Nunes, I think, is doing well on the left at the moment. Yeah. And I'm going to go with Jota. Jota offers more of a goal threat than Gakpo. Maybe keep Gakpo in reserve for Wednesday.
We've seen Klopp put Gakpo in midfield a little bit, haven't we? Do you think there's an argument for that?
No.
No.
So, not this game, I don't think. So, I think I'd play Nunes on the left, definitely. I'd play Elliot on the right, and in the basis that he's probably going to get subbed in the second half for one of the other forwards, depending on how the game's going. And down the middle, I think Gakpo, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because Gakpo, I think, he's actually been doing really well recently, but then so's Jota since he's come back, and the pair of them need, what's the word? Yeah, exactly. So they both know they're going to play in this game at some point. I'd probably start with Gakpo. Keep the ball.
Yeah. I like that about Gakpo. I've always said I'm not... I like Jota, but just don't love him from the start. I think he's a great substitute. I think he's quite good at home. Away from home, prefer Gakpo. I think he does keep the ball better. I think he knits things together better, and he'd probably be more helpful with the midfield that they've got up. So I'd probably go Gakpo through the middle. I like Nunes a lot down the left. I think he could cause Bournemouth real problems. Obviously scored a great goal there, so good memories from earlier this season. And then, yeah, I did like Diaz on the right the other day.
Yeah.
I think I would just like to scratch that itch a bit more and see what he's like there. And I think with Nunes playing so well on the left, it would be a good chance to change it up. But whether the Elliot option is there with Fulham to come, I think I've got a suspicion that he might go your way and play a bit of a stronger front line at Fulham. You seem to have a theory on Fulham and Norwich. Are you going to enlighten us before we go?
Oh, no, I just think Fulham's going to be a very, very tough game, and I think they don't really look at games ahead, do they? They always look at ones behind, but I think with this one on against Fulham, it's two very long away trips.
Yeah.
And I think that they'll want to keep at least one of those front three in reserve, front four in reserve for that game.
For that game, yeah. Okay, give us a prediction, Gorster. You can go first.
I mean, last season was a real low, wasn't it? Their 1-0 defeat. They're absolutely flying, to be fair to them. I think Liverpool might sneak a 1-0.
I think if Liverpool do win, I'd be very surprised if they don't concede.
Yeah,
they'll score
a lot
of goals. Yeah. So I'm going to have 2-2.
Well, I think if Liverpool win, it'll be 2-1. But I think it'll finish 1-1.
To be fair, I think of all these fixtures, a draw at Bournemouth is fine, and you know you kind of get out and
got to beat Chelsea though.
Yeah, you got to beat Chelsea,
and then not lose to Arsenal.
Yeah, and that represents quite a good run, doesn't it? But then, weirdly,
if you win two, you get and lose one, you get more points. Well, it depends on who you lose to, doesn't it? You don't want to lose to Arsenal.
No, you don't want to lose to Arsenal. No. Psychologically, it's big, isn't it? So, yeah, let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Thank you very much for tuning in. Like, subscribe, tell a friend, tell two.
Yeah.
Tell 10.
But what are you on social media, Joe?
What am I on social media? We should do this more often. From yes. At JoeRimmer88.
Which, is, of course, was when you celebrated your 20th birthday.
When you celebrated yours.
See, I got that in first. I am at Ian Doyle Sport.
Ian Doyle Sport.
At PT Ghost.
PT Ghost. Mm. You're not a personal trainer, are you?
No, very much not.
No.
But I'm personally training myself.
Before we go, so what was the wrestling moves you put on me?
I thought I said cripple crossface. That would
I literally quite don't know what that is.
Good old.
Would you demonstrate?
Too much.
Move probably, on.
Yeah, we'll probably move on. But yeah, I think it was the LaBelle lock. What's the LaBelle lock? That's a good one, isn't it? Sure, that's a good one. It's similar anyway. But yeah,
people need to go for the lunch.
I know what you mean.
Let them go.
Let's people go for their lunch. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll see you on Monday, hopefully, to talk about the Liverpool win and to look ahead to the greatest cup competition in world football, the Carabao Cup. See you then. Bye bye.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.